We're glad you're here today. We have a good crowd, visitors among us, and we thank you for coming. Thanks to Jason for leading our singing, and he and I, Lord willing, will be working together in a sermon and song. So you might have your songbook in one hand and your Bible in the other as we talk about some needed truths. One way we teach one another is in song. As Paul said in Colossians 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The song that we just sang, Higher Ground, has introduced our study. As the song says, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground with Grady and Safira learning to walk, starting to take some steps. And Mom, through her ordeal with her crushed heel and watching her take steps, it's a good time to call attention to taking steps. And so that's what I want to talk to us about today. Did you know the Bible often talks about steps? David said in 1 Samuel 20, in verse 3, there is but a step between me and death. Do you know how many steps you've taken from the time that you first took your step to today? Probably not. Do you know how many steps you took just this morning? Probably not, but God does. Job said in Job 31 and verse 4, doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? The psalmist said in Psalm 17 and verse 5, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Again, he said in Psalm 37 and verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Solomon, when talking about the strange woman in Proverbs 5:5, said, her feet go down to death, her steps take hold of hell. And Jeremiah exclaimed in Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know. Remember what the prophet knew? That the way of man is not in himself, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And so the Bible often mentions steps. Our life as a Christian is depicted as a walk. In fact, in Romans chapter 6, when Paul talks about being buried with Christ in baptism, he said in verse 3, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Walking involves taking steps. And there's some really good songs about taking steps. The first one that we'll notice is song number 489, entitled Stepping in the Light. Has a beautiful message. Stepping in the Light. Got me to thinking about the statement made by the psalmist in Psalm 119, 105, when he said, thy word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. John 8 and verse 12 finds Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Look at the first verse, which says, trying to walk in the steps of the Savior. I thought about when Peter mentioned in 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. And then the song says, trying to follow our Savior and King. In Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 24, Jesus issues an invitation for all to follow him. Hear these words. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You might think of a little boy or a little girl that tries to follow in the steps of her mother or his daddy. How about when it comes to trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King? Christ is our Savior. In Luke 2 and verse 11, it is said, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. Christ is the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5:23. And Paul talked about the salvation that is in Christ in 2 Timothy 2:10. Not only is He our Savior, but He is our King. The book of John in chapter 18 finds Jesus in Pilate's setting. And Pilate had asked Jesus, "Art thou a king?" Jesus said, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And Paul mentioned Christ as King of Kings in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 15. And then the song says, "Shaping our lives by His blessed example." You might think of a piece of wood that's turning upon a lathe. You've got a little tool in your hand and you can shape that. You can mold it as you would. Or you might think of clay and you as a potter and it's turning upon the wheel and you can shape that as you wish. How about when it comes to my life? Am I like the wood on the lathe and clay in the potter's hand, being shaped and molded by His blessed example? In John chapter 13, we read of the Passover when the Lord, after supper in verse 5, poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. And in verse 15, He said, "I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." He expected their lives to be shaped by His example. And then the song says, "Happy, how happy the songs that we bring." Again, in John 13 and verse 17, the Lord said, "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." Verse 2 says, "Pressing more closely to Him who is leading," when we are tempted to turn from the way. You know, sometimes it's tempting to turn from the way. Maybe something out here captures our interest. There's something that is alluring or appealing to us that would entice us to turn either to the right or to the left. We need to press more closely to Him who is leading. That's Jesus. Like in Acts 11:23, Barnabas exhorted those at Antioch to cleave to the Lord. And then James 4 and 8, James said, "Draw nigh to God." There are those who follow far off. And if we're not careful, we'll get so far behind we lose our way. And so we need to press more closely as we step in the light. The song also says, "Trusting the arm that is strong to defend us." The wise man counseled in Proverbs 3 and verse 5, "Lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust the Lord with all thy heart. His is the arm that's strong to defend us." Then notice verse 3 talks about walking in footsteps of gentle forbearance. We need those steps, don't we? Of forbearance, to have some patience about us. As Ephesians chapter 4 finds Paul exhorting the Ephesians in their walk, he said in verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called." How do you do that? "With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering," listen, "forbearing one another in love." There's those steps of forbearance. And then in his letter to the Colossians, he said in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." That is to have some give and take. Some become so dogmatic about things that really don't make any difference and disrupt the peace of brethren and divide over things that are really senseless. We need to walk in footsteps of gentle forbearance. Then he mentions footsteps of faithfulness. I thought about how when Paul talked about officers in the church, elders and deacons, and he talked about their wives. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11, "Faithful in all things." And you and I are stewards, been put in trust with the Lord's Word and entrusted with the soul, our most valuable possession. And it's required that a steward be found faithful in 1 Corinthians 4:2. Paul told Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy 2:2. I need to walk in footsteps of faithfulness so that the Lord will give to me that crown, as the crown of life is in store for the faithful. Be thou faithful unto death. The Lord said, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Revelation 2. And then verse 10. As well, he talked about footsteps of mercy. When we step in the light, we try to walk in the steps of the Savior. We try to follow our Savior and King. Our lives are shaped by His blessed example. We're pressing more closely to Him who is leading. We're going to walk in steps of mercy. As Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We have a good story about mercy in Luke chapter 10. When a lawyer came to Jesus asking, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord said, what is written in the law, how readest thou? He referred to the great commandment about loving the Lord with all your heart. And Jesus said, thou hast answered right. And he tried to justify himself, saying, who is my neighbor? And the Lord told this story about a man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves. A Levite came by, and as well as a priest, and they passed by on the other side. And in verse 33, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him. Went to him, bound up his wounds, poured in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And the Lord said in verse 36, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Those are footsteps of mercy. And they lead us to compassionate acts just like this Samaritan displayed in regard to the man that is left for dead. The Lord said in verse 37, go and do thou likewise. And he talked about in the song, footsteps of love. That first step would be love toward God, wouldn't it? In that great command, the Lord said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment. It also involved neighborly love, wouldn't it? Loving your neighbor as you love yourself. And loving brethren. Let brotherly love continue. Hebrews 13, and in verse 1. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, upward, still upward, we'll follow our guide. When we shall see Him, the King in His beauty, happy. How happy our place at His side. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light. Stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light. Let's sing, Jason. As I thought about taking steps, another song that you might consider is song number 388. How many steps can you take at a time? You know, sometimes the journey may seem overwhelming or something you're going through and you think, man, I got all this distance to travel. Look how far I have to go, and it can be a daunting task, can't it? Maybe you're going through some struggle. And you might think about this song, one step at a time. Dear Savior, I cannot take anymore. The flesh is so weak and hopeless. I know not what is before. I got to thinking about how the Lord talked to those who were anxious about things, about just taking one day at a time. In Matthew chapter 6, he said in verse 25, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? He's showing that there's things more important than eating and drinking and raiment. There's a part of us that is immortal. He said, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto stature? To see how much good worry does, if you're concerned about how short you are, take your tape measure, measure yourself, write that measurement down, put yourself in a room for a week and worry real hard and long about that measurement, and then come out and measure yourself again and see how much taller you are. It just shows that worry does no good. It won't make you any taller. It's kind of like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it won't take you anywhere. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And so his point is, God will take care of you. And then he says in verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow. You know, a lot of people are worried about tomorrow. Well, what about tomorrow and the next day and the day after that and next week? And it's easy to get anxious about that, isn't it? He said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That is, I have all I can deal with today. And tomorrow, if it gets here, will take care of itself. And so, sometimes we may kind of overwhelm ourselves. We think about the whole week. I've got to do this, I've got to do that. Or this month, or next month. How about just one day at a time? It might help you be a little less stressful and anxious and worrisome. And as this song suggests, one step at a time. You think about maybe you're trying to reach a goal of going so far. Well, you're just going to get there one step at a time, aren't you? And so I'm just going to take this step. Once I've made that step, then I'll take the next step. One step at a time. The song says, I'm not walking by sight. Keep step with my soul, dear Savior. I walk by faith in thy might. We walk by faith and not by sight, don't we? As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. And I read of a number of individuals who walk by faith, one step at a time. They're recorded in Hebrews chapter 11. Like Abel in verse 4, when they offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And when he offered that excellent sacrifice, you know how he did that? One step at a time. When Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because he had this testimony that he pleased God. You know how he did that? Just one step at a time. And Noah, when he warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. God, remember, gave him the blueprint in Genesis 6. He gave him the dimensions, how high, how long, how wide, the material to be used. He could have been overwhelmed by that. You know how he built it? One step at a time, one piece at a time. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and he went out, not knowing whether he went. Remember reading about it in Genesis 12? He started asking all kinds of questions, didn't he? Where are we going? How long are we going to be in getting there? And how long are we going to stay? And what's it going to be like? No, he didn't. He walked by faith. He went. And you know how he got there? One step at a time. His sojourning was by faith in verse 9. Sarah, remember, she conceived seed, brought forth a child. Here, that took place one step at a time, one day at a time. God's plan was unfolding. And verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Verse 16 says, they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. One step at a time, dear Savior. O guard my faltering feet. It's easy for the feet to falter. Keep hold of my hand, dear Savior, till I my journey complete. One step at a time, dear Savior. Thou knowest all of my fear. One word from thy heart, dear Savior, and heaven's mansions appear. The psalmist said, and perhaps the most familiar psalm, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. And Jesus said in John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And so, one step at a time, and heaven's mansions appear. One step at a time, dear Savior, till faith grows stronger in thee. One step at a time, dear Savior, till hope grows stronger in me. I hope that as you think about taking steps, you'll recognize the importance and the value of this song in just one step at a time. Stepping in the light, one step at a time. How about each step I take? Number 94. Each step I take, my Savior goes before me. Isn't it a comforting thought to know that whenever you take a step, your Savior has gone before you? He's leading the way. And so He's right there with us. He's ahead of us. And with His loving hand, He leads the way. Can you envision that? As a parent, maybe, to a little child before, leading the way, and with His loving hand leading the way. And with each breath I whisper, I adore Thee. Oh, what joy to walk with Him each day. It is a joy to walk with the Lord, isn't it? Each day. To know that He goes before us, He leads the way, and to express our adoration for Him. At times I feel my faith begin to waver. That happened with Peter, didn't it? When he got out of the boat and began to walk upon the sea, and he took his eyes off the Lord as he was walking to Him, and with the sea boisterous, he began to sink. Sometimes our faith begins to waver. It's not as strong as it ought to be. We ought to be strong in faith, steadfast in the faith, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Maybe up ahead we see a chasm wide. We think, how am I going to cross that? It's then I turn and look up to my Savior. I'm strong when He is by my side. I realize there's nowhere I can't go when He's by my side. It may seem to me impossible. I'm not sure I can take this step. I'm not sure if I can do that, if I can go through this. I'm strong when He is by my side. But if He's not by my side, then I'm weak. Is He by our side? I trust in God no matter come what may. That's quite an expression, isn't it? Quite a statement. Are we able to truly sing that and say that with genuineness? I trust in God no matter come what may. You know, it's easy to trust in God when things are good and things are going well, isn't it? It had been easier for Job, perhaps, to trust in God when he was blessed by God like he was, when he had his family and his health and his possessions. When his trust in God was put to a test was when he began to lose those things, when in a day it all changed. And things can really change in a day. You know, the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27:1, and certainly Job didn't know what that day brought forth. As messenger after messenger came with tidings of bad news. How that he lost all of his children in a day. He lost his possessions in a day. His wife said, curse God and die. He lost his health, remember? He was smitten with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Can you imagine? Have you ever had just one boil? He had them from head to toe. Did his trust change? Remember his statement? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. It's a good example of trust, isn't it? To trust in God, no matter come what may. To recognize that God is omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. And he knows what is best. His way is perfect. In fact, the prophet Isaiah expressed that when he talked about the Lord's ways are higher than our ways. He said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. In Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. And so I trust in God, no matter come what may. For life eternal is in his hand. Think about that. Man can't even guarantee you physical life. But God has eternal life in his hand. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. He holds the key that opens up the way that will lead me to the promised land. You think about the promised land. Think about the land that was promised to the people of Israel back in the Old Testament. God showed Abraham the land of Canaan. He said, I give you this land, the promise made to his descendants. And can you imagine them journeying from Egypt to Canaan? They were doing that one step at a time, weren't they? And each step they took toward that promised land, the Lord was with them. There's no way they could have made it. They could have crossed the Jordan and entered into the land without the Lord's going before them and leading the way. And he holds the key that opens up our way that leads us to the promised land. That's heaven, the home of the soul. And the Bible gives us a preview of a beautiful place called heaven. In Revelation 21, when John said in verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. He said, God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground he ever leads me on, until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. Have you thought about that? That with each step that we take, we're just that much closer to home. This world is not our home, is it? We're just passing through. Our citizenship is in heaven. And so our hope is laid up above the bright blue. And each step I take just leads me closer home. What a song. We conclude our study with number 687. Which will also be used as a song to invite you to step in obedience to the Lord's invitation. Only a step. 687. Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the way. The greatest invitation ever offered was extended when the Lord said with outstretched arms, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. In John chapter 14, he said in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I need to hear those words from Jesus. And then the song appeals to me in these words, hearken the loving call, obey. It's one thing for me to hear him say, come unto me, I am the way. It's another thing for me to hearken the call, to obey the call. Will I accept the invitation? Will I take the way? Christ is the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him, Hebrews 5 and in verse 9. John said, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city, Revelation 22 and verse 14. Come, for he loves you so. The thing that moves us and motivates us to obey to accept the invitation of our Lord to take the way that He offers is His great love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, Jesus said. In the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He appeals to us to cast our heavy burden down. Come to the cross, the world may frown, yet you shall wear a glorious crown. Think about the crown that is in store for you. The crown of life. When He makes up His own. The reward for accepting the invitation and obeying the Lord is a glorious crown and an open gate. Open for you, the pearly gate. Loved ones for you, now watch and wait. There are those who are watching and waiting for you to come. Will you come? Imagine if you were on the other end of that, watching and waiting. You were hoping that your loved one would come. Will you do that? Terrible thought to cry too late. We see that in the parable of the virgins, don't we? The five that were foolish, it was too late. There was a voice, the bridegroom coming, go ye out to meet him at midnight. They weren't ready. They didn't have preparation. They tried to go out and buy themselves oil, and it was too late. They came back, and the bridegroom had come, and the door was shut, and they were knocking and said, open, open. He said, I know you not. Terrible thought. It's terrible to think about waiting too late. Jesus, I come to thee. You know, we read in the book of Acts of a man who said, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. But you know, there's never a record where that call was ever made. I just wonder if he cried too late. It'll never be any more convenient for a person to answer the Lord's call than to do that right now. And it's only a step. Only a step. We see that step being followed in the book of Acts. That step of obedience. In Acts chapter 2, for example, when they were accused of putting to death the Son of God, and they said, what shall we do? They were told, repent and be baptized. And the Bible says, they that gladly received His word were baptized. Verse 41. Only a step. But a step that made a big difference in their lives. A step between remaining in their sins or having the remission of their sins. A step that put them in God's family as the Lord added them to the church. In Acts 2 and in verse 47. Or you might turn over to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts when the gospel reaches the Samaritans. And the Bible says in verse 12, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women, on this step. The same was true of Simon when he believed and was baptized in verse 13. He took that step, didn't he? A step of obedience. As well as the Ethiopian who'd been to Jerusalem to worship, was returning home, heard Philip preach about Jesus, and he said, see, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Upon the confession of his faith, he was baptized. Only a step. In Acts 9, Saul was laying on the Damascus road trembling. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He's told to go in the city, it shall be told thee what thou must do. He is told, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Only a step stood between him and having his sins washed away. And the Bible says immediately he was baptized. Acts 10 finds Cornelius being commanded to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Acts 10 verse 48. Only a step. In Acts chapter 16 we read of Lydia of Thyatira, a worshiper of God who heard Paul. And the Bible says when she was baptized, she took the step, didn't she? Took that step of obedience. And so did the jailer. And he said, what must I do to be saved? He was told what to do. Believe on the Lord. They spake to him the word that he might believe. He took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, was baptized, he and all his straightway. Answered the call, didn't he? accepted the invitation, took the way. So did the Corinthians in Acts 18, when many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized, Acts 18:8. And the Ephesians in Acts 19:5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Only a step, only a step. Come, for he bled for you and died. Think about what Jesus has done for you. Went to the cross, he was scourged, and the soldier took his spear and pierced his side, and there came out blood and water. And he yielded up the ghost, you remember. He died for you. He's the same loving Savior yet. Jesus, the crucified. Only a step. Would you take that step today? Maybe you've not obeyed the gospel. Why not now? Having heard, would you believe it? And be willing to obey it, and repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, and being baptized into Christ's remission of your sins. Maybe you've already obeyed the gospel. You've taken that initial step of obedience. But you've not been stepping in the light. You've not been pressing closely as you need to, and you've lost your way. You're walking in darkness. You've become unfaithful. And you want to get back on track. We'd like to encourage you to do that, and we're here to help you. If you're willing to repent of your sins, to take care of confessing that to God in prayer, we'll be happy to pray with you and for you. As together we stand and sing the song, Only a Step, we invite you to come.